The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's The Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
20 years of sports coverage. Sports Radio 560 WNSR on 95.9 FM.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Nashville Hotel Wednesday edition. Here's the guesting we have today. Bottom of the hour, Brian Driscoll will talk some Fighting Irish. Their spring is underway, and I'll do a bunch of this for all the teams when they are flowing. Ohio State has started. We'll get into some of that too, and various teams. Kevin Hagan, top of hour two. We'll talk Alabama with him. That's a very popular segment we do every Wednesday. Josh Newberg, top of that third hour. We'll talk some Noles and the state of Florida with him in that last hour. 888-702-5494. Tweets on air, Buffalo Wings and Ring School Springs. Before I get to Black, and he's on hold, it's interesting. Looks like Kevin Stallings is going to get fired. Now, just to give you the background, and you probably know this, you're aware, he was here in Nashville for a long time coaching Vanderbilt, and frankly, you could argue most of the time he did a good job. He is actually considered a very, very high-level X's and O's guy. You could question his recruiting, although at times he recruited quite well at Vanderbilt or developed quite well. You could angle that any way you want, but at Pittsburgh, it's been a catastrophe. He is 0 for 32 in 2 years in the league, in the ACC Conference. 0 for 32. If they fire him, they owe him $7.5 million. Pay it. You got to get on with it. I'll get into it, but the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette put out a list of coaches who did not make it to year three. Now, this is basketball coaches, all right? And it's under this category. Since 85, the year the NCAA tournament went to 64 games, only 14 times has a non-interim coach in one of college basketball's major conferences been let go before the start of his third season or after one season. I'm just going to give you a couple of these and we'll get to Black. Couple of these are easy. Billy Clyde Gillespie didn't make it to year three at Kentucky. He was 40 and 28. But Billy had lots of issues. Billy Clyde Gillespie, shortly thereafter, didn't make it to year two at Texas Tech. Remember that? I'll give you another one. Ron Jerza at Georgia. He came in right after Tubby. And he was 35 and 30 at Georgia. Didn't make it to year three. Donnie Tindall at Tennessee. He was 16-16. Now, the problem there was the NCAA mess, right, with him. Here's one. Does anybody remember James Johnson at Virginia Tech? I don't really even remember him. Didn't make it to year three, 22-41. Sean Sutton didn't make it to year three at Oklahoma State. 39-29. Kelvin Sampson, Indiana. Now, that was controversy, right? He was 43-15. Virginia Tech's had it happen a couple times. Bobby Hussey, 97-99, is another one. Fran Fraschilla at St. John's. Stan Van Gundy, Wisconsin. Kermit Davis, the job he's doing at MTSU is incredible. Remember, that was at A&M. Now, there were some circumstances there. 8-21. Interesting list. Here's another one. Where is Tubby? Because, and I'm going to get into this after we get Black on, but Tubby's down there at Memphis, and there's a lot of talk that he's about to get fired, and there's a lot of talk that they're going to put in his place Penny Hardaway, who's down there coaching. Is it Memphis East right now? Tubby, is Tubby in year two right now or year three at Memphis? Bean Counters, somebody step up and help the host of the show. Let's get the call here. Black, welcome in, sir. I'm right up against a break. Make it quick.
Hey, man, who went 0-32, man?
Kevin Stallings, the basketball coach at Pitt, who was here in Nashville at Vanderbilt for a long time.
Hey, man.
0-32.
Hey, man, he doesn't need to be the only one who gets fired, man. How the hell do you let somebody even get to that point? So they didn't play, they don't play any baby seals or anything?
Well, I mean, that's league play now. That's in the ACC.
Okay.
Yeah, 0-16 back-to-back years. I don't know how you can do any worse
man.
Than that. Yeah.
No, it's almost impossible. Actually, it is mathematically impossible. So, he accomplished something, man. I mean, maybe that's what he set out for initially. Hey, so let's talk football for a second, man. So what is your who are right now? Who are your way too early playoff teams?
Way too early is on the verboten list, but that's okay. You're royalty, so you are one of the few that get an exception. But you know what? It's chalk. You know this. I mean, it's a boring. I'm not criticizing you, but it's a boring topic because it's chalky. It's Ohio State, it's Clemson, it's Alabama, and it's somebody, pick your other team, Georgia or whoever. I mean, seriously, who else would you put in there? Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. Those are three. Now, it might not end up that way, but who else would you pick right now? Nobody else from the SEC other than Georgia, okay? Nobody else certainly from the ACC. I wouldn't put Miami in there yet.
What about Florida? I mean, Florida State, I mean, I'm sorry.
No. No, way too ambitious. I think Willie can get them there, but I don't see that now. Not this year, no.
Okay, in the Pac-12, you don't have anybody that looks. I think that. What about Washington? You think Washington can overachieve this year?
I would think if anybody can coach them up and overachieve a little bit, it would be UW. That would be one. And then find me somebody in the Big 12. Oklahoma, I don't know, is playing good enough defensively, and they haven't fixed anything defensively here. And apparently they're not going to fix anything. Because you got the politics of the Stoops family running the defense. And the head coach cannot fire the brother of the guy who facilitated him getting the gig.
Hey, what about Texas? A little too ambitious? No. Hey, that sounds stupid coming out of my mouth. Don't even answer that. What about TCU?
Not that ambitious, no.
Okay. All right. Hey, so you don't have anybody off the pack? You said Washington. Hey, so how are we grading Chris Peterson right now?
He's I'd say A-. He's doing a heck of a job. He got him into the playoffs a year ago. Couldn't get past that Alabama defense, even though Lane Kiffin did everything he could to help them in that game, but they couldn't get past that. And this year, of course, Southern Cal won the league.
Yeah, hey, that was a great game, Penn State and Washington. Hey, so I was watching Urban Meyer's press conference, he said that Ryan Day is going to be helping out with the receivers, and that's the area from a coaching perspective. That's I told you when we lost Luke Fickell that we were going to miss Luke Fickell at the linebacker position, man. And we missed Luke Fickell this year at the linebacker position. I thought that we underachieved commensurate with the level of talent we had, you know. But hopefully we'll see a step up there. But we have a lot of wide receiver talent, probably as deep a wide receiver room as we've had. We need to get more out of them this year. But Urban Meyer said yesterday that Ryan Day is going to be a part of that room now. So I'm looking forward to that, man.
Well, you have a couple things. You have wide receiver talent, which has either not been used or underachieved for a few years now. And you have a coordinator that will be in year two. So there's a lot of familiarity both ways, coaches to players, players to coaches. So I expect that to really click this year with, obviously, Mr. Haskins as the quarterback. That's my assumption here, and I think it's going to be pretty.
That's what I was thinking. If it does click, and Kevin Wilson – I am still the biggest fan of Kevin Wilson. I have been the biggest fan of Kevin Wilson. If it clicks this year, it's going to be beyond pretty. It's going to be pretty for us and rather ugly for those on opposite side of the field from us. So, that's it, man. But you have a good day, man. Just wanted to wrap to you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Black. That group of – now, there's no star that's separated out yet. But with – a Paris Campbell or a Benjamin Victor, Austin Mack, Johnny Dixon, that group at wide receiver to go with Dwayne Haskins and to go with J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber at running back. Now, like we've talked about with quarterbacks down here in the South, who are going to have to make come-to-Jesus decisions this spring, whether it's Jalen Hurts or whether it's Hunter Johnson over at Clemson, or do both the quarterbacks at Florida State hang out if one separates? There's going to be some decisions. What happens at Florida? Whoever doesn't get the gig. Does Felipe Franks hang around if they get through the spring and it looks like he's not going to be the guy? We got a lot of those to talk about. But at Ohio State, does Joe Burrow hang around? If obviously it's going to be Dwayne Haskins, and they're probably going to do something with that offense in the running game where Tate Martell has a specified package, because now he's tiny as a quarterback, but he is very quick, very twitchy, and he would be a heck of a change-up type of guy if you put him in there. Your pro-style quarterback who's going to get all the heavy lifting work is going to be Dwayne Haskins. It's interesting, interesting. Back to the Stallings thing at Pitt. He was around here with Vanderbilt fans. It was love-hate with him. He got to, was it two or three Sweet 16s? He did a pretty good job at Vanderbilt. At Vanderbilt, most of the time, he developed players. Now, he had some good talent, too, but he developed players. He also had a ton of players transfer on him, because being around him day to day was very difficult. Very difficult. I am one of the few, and I wasn't around him a lot, but I had him on the show from time to time, that really never had a run-in with him. He was all right with me. I don't know why, because as you know, I've had my run-ins with coaches wherever. But Not really with him. Now, again, maybe it's because I didn't deal with him enough. Maybe that's just repetition, man. Didn't get enough at-bats with Stallings. But he was never that jerky, if jerky at all, to me. When I would deal with him or have him on the show. So they owe him $7.5 million. And I think that they're going to go ahead and pay him off and get on with it. I mean, you can't continue to go 0 for the league. I mean, literally, he is 0 for 32 the last 2 years. And that's not going to... I mean, we've seen some good Pitt basketball. That's just godforsaken. Here's another question. Did my favorite AD not Steve Peterson hire him? Was that a Peterson hire or not? Remember, he was at Pitt, and I got to meet him when he was recruiting coordinator at Tennessee. You're talking about an absolute incompetent jerk, Peterson. But was at Pitt as the AD, left to go to Nebraska, got run out of town there. They hated him. Then he ended up back at Pitt. I don't know why they would do that. And then they had to fire him at Pitt. Did Peterson hire Stallings? That's another question for the bean counters here. And the other question is Tubby in year two or three right now? The season we are in or just completed? Spot Jenkins says Bill fired in his future and possibly the AD too. The ACC is tougher than the SEC. And Stallings was a middle-of-the-pack coach in the league. Didn't see him succeeding in the ACC. I didn't really know what to think about Stallings at Pitt because it wasn't a real big story. Did you see the video? Let me retweet this too. Have you seen this video? It's a timeout in their ACC tournament game, and he's mad, and he's got his clipboard. He tries to break it over his knee, only it didn't break. He's going to snap it over his knee, kind of like Bo Jackson did with baseball bats, effortlessly, except he couldn't get it done. Ben tweets, Stallings received 0 votes for ACC Coach of the Year. Here's another one from PGH Sports Now. Guess that's Pittsburgh. Stallings not negotiating a buyout with Pitt. You got to get rid of him. You got to run him off. If you bring him back, I would think that nobody would go to any of those games. What would be the point, right? Now, is he 0 for 32 or something 4 and 32? I thought he was 0 for 32 in league play. I think that's right. We'll get the first break here. Bottom of the hour, we've got Brian Driscoll. We'll talk some Fighting Irish with him. Tickets at Primo Seats. All these conference tournaments getting started all across America. Pick out your league, pick out your team or teams, and go to PrimoSeats.com. That's PrimoSeats.com, and get your tickets. Most of it's done electronically. Now, it depends on the situation, but most of it is done. So you get a printout, you have your barcode, and you're on your way. Use the name Bill Is King, and you get 5% off by doing that. Bill Is King, 5% off by doing that, and you are ready to go. PrimoSeats.com for all your ticket needs. If you like our friend the other day on Twitter who's coming here to see the Foo Fighters, and it's concerts you're into, get your concert tickets right there. PrimoSeats.com. Doesn't matter where it is. Let's get the break here. Bottom of the hour coming up in about 10 minutes or less. We'll pull in Brian Driscoll, talk a little Fighting Irish with him. Kevin Hagan, Alabama, top of hour two. Josh Newberg, top of hour three, Florida State. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still looking pretty good out here, especially as wrecks start to occur out here on secondary routes like this one here on Emmett Avenue at Strauss. Traffic on the interstate showing signs of building. 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. 65 now on the increase northbound here up through Williamson County. Half Price Foods has two locations, Lebanon, Dixon. They've got food, household supplies, pet food, marked 50% off. Go see them today. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
American Drywall Company says if you're over the age of 40, schedule a mammogram today. The latest technology can detect the earliest signs of breast cancer, which give the best options for treatment. This simple test could save your life. This message from American Drywall Company at 830 Fessler's Parkway in Nashville, your area's top professional drywall contractors. For more information, call the specialists at American Drywall Company by dialing 615-259-9494. For American Drywall Company, on the air because they care about the health of our community.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure Magazine, one of the most romantic restaurants in Music City, and awarded the 2016 Wine Spectator Award of Excellence. For reservations, simply call 615-761-3707 or go to OpenTable.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-643-6931 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-643-6931 to take your call now. Call 1-800-643-6931. That's 1-800-643-6931. Again, 1-800-643-6931.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email PhyllisKing7, that's number 7, PhyllisKing7 at gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, PhyllisKing7 at gmail.com.
Do you like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with at Bill Is King on Twitter or 888-702-5494.
I'll flip this one pretty quick because we have Brian Driscoll in about 5 minutes from Blue and Gold. We'll talk some Fighting Irish with him. Here's the CBS piece from Gary Parrish, who is located in Memphis and has a talk show down there too. Writes for CBS. Memphis legend Penny Hardaway is actively preparing to be a coach, a college coach, and has already started identifying possible future staff members, multiple sources have told CBS Sports. Meanwhile, the Memphis president told the Commercial Appeal on Tuesday that his administration is going to evaluate the program at the end of each year, which effectively confirms what CBS Sports has learned. Memphis is seriously considering firing Tubby Smith, and Jeff Chu pointed out that he just finished up year number two. So he's been there 2 years, Tubby. Memphis is seriously considering firing Tubby and replacing him with Penny Hardaway. An attempt to reach Hardaway for comment was not immediately successful. The former NBA All-Star currently runs Team Penny Nike, that program, and also serves as the coach at Memphis East High School, where he has assembled an incredible roster, favored to win another state championship. He has ties to three top 40 players in the class of 19. Number one, James Wiseman, who we've told you was here, then moved down there, was at Innsworth. Number one ranked player, 6'11", has been leaning to Kentucky heavily. Number 26, DJ Jeffries, and number 40, Chandler Lawson. How about this one now, everybody? A source told CBS one person Hardaway would likely target for a position on his staff at Memphis if they were to hire him would be Hall of Fame coach Larry Brown. Back to Tubby. Tubby is only in his second season at Memphis, so buying him out quickly would become unusual and expensive. In fact, it would cost $9.75 million. But the administration has determined that keeping Smith might cost more in multiple ways. So Pitt, to get rid of Stallings at the end of this second year, would be $7.5 million. To get rid of Tubby right now, it would cost about $10 million. Now, think about what they have at Memphis. They have FedEx money, and they have AutoZone money, among others. They've got lots of money. People can stroke some checks with endless zeros down there if they're into the gig, if they're into what it's for. Stroking a check for something like that ain't no money for that group down there. I'll say it again in Southern twang. Ain't no money for them. David says, Bill, give Stallings some credit. Actually, he was 4-14 in the ACC last year. That makes him 4-36 overall. Okay. Yeah, I had him 0-32 or something. Jeff 2 breaks it down like the bean counters do. Stallings' salary is $2.1 million per year. This season, that was $65,000. $625 per game or $262,500 per win. Not bad work if you can get it. That's why we love the bean counters. Nobody breaks it down like that. That specificity right there. We got Brian Driscoll coming up right after the break, so let's take it here at the bottom. Crazy Charlie will get you there. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still looking pretty good out here, especially as wrecks start to occur out here on secondary routes like this one here on Emmett Avenue at Strauss. Traffic on the interstate showing signs of building. 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. 65 now on the increase northbound here up through Williamson County. Half Price Foods has two locations, Lebanon, Dixon. They've got food, household supplies, pet food, marked 50% off. Go see them today. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Show your grit, Middle Tennessee, as Marc Gasol and your Grizzlies square off against the Jazz Friday at 7 p.m. Be one of the first 5,000 fans in attendance to receive a Chandler Parsons hat. Then, Grizz Nation of Nashville. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Memphis and watch the Grizz as they take on the Nuggets Saturday the 17th. Starting at just $62, get round-trip charter bus transportation to and from Nashville and one ticket to the game that night. Call 901-888-HOOP or visit Grizzlies.com today.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
The Acura TLX comes standard with four distinct drive modes. An integrated dynamic system lets you switch between Econ, Normal, Sport, and Sport Plus settings for adaptive control, making each drive as dynamic as you choose. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com. Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Brian Driscoll is with us. He is with Blue and Gold Illustrated. They started spring practice yesterday in South Bend, so we'll talk about it. Hey, Brian, how you been, man?
I'm great, Bill. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Give us some random observations.
I think the first thing that jumped out to me yesterday, just overall as a team, you saw a team that year two of Matt Bayless, you're starting to see sort of how his influence has paid off on his team. One thing that stood out is just how veteran players just look quicker. There's a little bit more explosiveness from guys that were on the team last year. A couple guys that stood out to me, obviously Tony Jones Jr. was one. 5 pounds lighter, down to 220. Feet looked really quick, explosive. He looks really good. He was a standout last spring, but just looks more explosive this year than he did last year. And then Michael Young, Bill, you know, is a young receiver I'm very high on, but he looked great yesterday, just super quick, really explosive athletically, getting downfield, doing things after the catch, just a really talented player. And I think that was the thing that caught my eye, was just overall the athleticism of this football team really jumped out. And you started to see that from some of the rising sophomores, added a little bit of juice to a guy that I think people are going to get to know here very soon, a young man named Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Virginia, just an incredible athlete. He's an interesting kid. He's going to be a sophomore next year, Bill, but he didn't turn 18 until the week of the Wake Forest game, which was the first weekend of November. Very young for his class, and he's a guy that just, when you watch him play, you know, sometimes guys just stand out athletically. You know, they just look faster than everybody else, and he was that way. So the tempo, I mean, just at this time last year, they were learning new defense, new offense. Coaches were learning players were learning coaches. This year, a lot more experience, and so there's just a faster tempo. There was less instruction of the basics and more kind of that next level stuff, and so that was really the things that jumped out to me.
Michael Young is that body type receiver that they really didn't have last year, 5'11", 180, whatever they list him. He's out of Destrehan, Louisiana, for everybody, and played just a little bit last year, but that would be nice if they had that size guy with that kind of speed. I guess the kid that transferred from Arizona State, was it Cameron Smith? He really didn't. He had injuries last year.
Yeah, he was banged up. They were hoping right. He could provide that. He never kind of got into a rhythm. And then when he finally started to get comfortable, he got banged up.
Right.
And really didn't play a whole lot. Same with Freddie Canteen from Michigan. They were hoping he could provide a little bit of that juice. And, you know, he got hurt against Georgia and was out for the year, which was kind of his MO at Michigan. But Michael Young's that guy. You know, we were talking yesterday on our show that they really haven't had a guy that could just catch a ball behind the line and make a play since Will Fuller in 2014. Will Fuller didn't even do it in 2015, but 2014 – he was a guy that had several times, you know, either caught quick slants and turned them into big plays, or, you know, caught a tunnel screen behind the line or a look screen behind the line and then just did something with it. And they didn't have that. And look, when you run the RPO the way that Notre Dame does, they were terrible at that last year. And part of it is they didn't have a guy that could do exactly what you're talking about, Bill, which is take a hitch and turn it into 50 yards. Take a look screen, turn it into 50 yards or 25 yards, which forces teams to focus more on the perimeter when you're running your RPOs. And they didn't really have that threat last year. And he can be that guy that provides that juice. He showed that last year athletically. But you could see that the wheels were always turning in his head. He wasn't always playing fast because he was thinking, you know, do I got the right foot, you know, up? What are my steps here on this route? Well, what if the corner squats? What if the corner bails? What if the corner jumps inside? I'm not sure what to do. Well, now he knows all that. He's just out there playing. And you're really seeing his speed and his athleticism take off.
We're obviously not going to know the outcome of the quarterbacks on the field until we get out there months from now. But was there anything that you noted yesterday?
Yeah, and with that caveat of like, look, we really don't know what these quarterbacks are going to do until Michigan, right?
Right.
But one thing we noticed yesterday is you know, when you look at Ian Book, for example, last year at this time, he was really pressing, he was really trying to, you know, show that he belonged, really just kind of overdoing it. Yesterday, he looked just more comfortable in his own skin. He was just out there playing, you know, had a couple misses, but overall just looked comfortable, looked smooth. Brandon looked like he is, you know, a young man that put a lot of time into his mechanics. You know, last year he was very robotic with how he went through his drops and his motions. You know, he would kind of drop, then he would set, then he would plant, then he would try to throw, and it was literally three different motions. You know, as a quarterback, Bill, you want to have it kind of be one fluid. You drop, plant, throw all in one smooth, fluid motion. It goes together. And he looked more like that guy yesterday. He looked more comfortable. He was snapping the ball out. His feet were taking him to where he wanted to go with the ball, those kind of things. And those are those little things you want to look for now in year two, you know, with Tommy Reese as your quarterback's coach. Are you improving the footwork? Is your release point, you know, are you able to repeat that over and over again? Are you smoother? Are you quicker with your motions? Are you quicker with your delivery? Are you going through just the overall actions of a quarterback just cleaner than you did last year? And we did see those things. And, you know, no pads, no teamwork, but just those kind of things kind of stood out. And we'll see if he can repeat them. We'll see if he can do them. You know, it's easy to do that when it's routes on air or one-on-ones when there's no pass rush. Let's see if he can do it as we get further into spring and now there's a blitzer coming off the edge or, you know, the rolling coverage and those kind of things. But, you know, first day, you know, thumbs up from what we saw from both quarterbacks.
What is the outlook on the left side of the offensive line?
I think there's, you know, look, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. I don't think anyone in this universe expects them to be as good as they were last year. The question is, can they still be good? Robert Hainsey, who started as a true freshman last year, the last four games of the year, rotated every series with Tommy Kramer the entire season. He's going to move over to the left side, which is where he's most natural, most comfortable. So the expectation is that he's going to be a good player over there. He was a good player last year as a true freshman, and you know the expectation is only going to get better. Yesterday, the starting left guard was a young man named Josh Lugg. He was my number one player in the class in the class of 2017. Just an outstanding young offensive lineman, 6'7", 308. Another young guy for his class. He's there battling it out at left guard. Liam Eichenberg, who's a rising, he's going to be a redshirt sophomore next year. He's competing at tackle. The thought is if he wins the right tackle job, you're going to move Tommy Kramer to left guard. Either way, you're going to have a guy that was a super highly ranked, highly coveted, talented player at left guard. Is that guy going to be Quentin Nelson? Of course not. But can that player still be good? Yeah. So it's just about finding that right combination on the left side, finding out who it's going to be. It's going to be a young group next year, right? There's going to be some growing pains. But the expectation is this is a super talented line. Harry Hiestand recruited about as well as anybody in the country before he left. So, you know, he left Jeff Quinn a pretty deep, athletic and talented group. Now it's just, can they come together and play, you know, as a 5-1 type of unit? That remains to be seen.
Yeah. And I tell you what, and I'm getting on out there a little bit, but the schedule's not forgiving at all.
No, it's not. And I think that obviously you're going to find out. These kids are going to get thrown into the fire pretty early on. You know, you got Michigan in week one. You kick off the season with Michigan. You've got at the last game of September, you've got Stanford. You got to travel to Blacksburg to play Virginia Tech. Florida State comes to town in November. You know, and then you've got USC, and it's a challenging schedule. But the one thing is look, once you get past Michigan, you've got Ball State, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest. Now, Vanderbilt and Wake Forest aren't pushovers, but those are the kind of games where if you can get past Michigan, you can sort of get right and get healthy in those next three games before Stanford comes to town at the end of September. But look, that's why you come to Notre Dame, right? I mean, you don't come to Notre Dame so you can play four MAC teams and you can play an FCS school and, you know, you can play pushovers from Power Five conferences. And then you really have two big games a year. You come to Notre Dame because you want to play a challenging, difficult schedule where you're playing in, you know, all three time zones, and you're playing from good teams from every league. You're playing ACC teams, Big Ten teams, Pac-12 teams, you know, occasionally the SEC teams, and we're going to get that next year. You're going to have an SEC opponent on the schedule. You're going to have a Big Ten team on the schedule. You're going to have, obviously, ACC teams on the schedule and Pac-12 teams on the schedule, and that's why these kids come to Notre Dame. And so they know it, they embrace it, and really it's going to be – it's kind of like the Texas game was in 2015. If you can get past that opener, you've got an opportunity over the next 3 weeks to sort of get right before the schedule then really gets tough in October, November.
I just noticed this because I hadn't really gone and combed through the schedule much, but the Stanford game is – historically later in the season than its place this year, correct?
It's about a week earlier than normal.
Okay.
They always play Stanford about the fifth or sixth game, usually.
Okay.
Sixth or seventh game. This year it's the fifth game. So it's about a week or two earlier than normal. If you look at the next 2 weeks after that, they're both ACC games. So it's you know, that's going to happen sometimes when you get into that ACC schedule, that mandatory ACC schedule. You're going to see some that sometimes. But, yeah, it's about a week or two earlier than normal.
Brian, appreciate the wisdom, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Brian Driscoll. Yeah, let me give you the Notre Dame schedule, everybody. Open up with Michigan. That game's in South Bend. So that's Harbaugh, and I'm assuming – air quotes there around the word assuming. Shea Patterson is the quarterback and is cleared. That has not happened yet. But Michigan is the opener, September 1, at Notre Dame. Next is Ball State. Vanderbilt from the 615. Man, I wish Notre Dame was coming here. But they're not coming to this great stadium. The dud over there. So Notre Dame host Vanderbilt in Game 3. Wake Forest on the road in Winston-Salem, Game 4. Game 5, you get Bryce Love. He's back. Yikes. That's in South Bend. That's the last game of September for them. Then it's to Blacksburg, the Hokies. Fuente is in year number 3. You got Pittsburgh in South Bend. Kevin Stallings, I'm sure, will be fired by then. You have Navy, but they're going to play that game out in San Diego. That game is typically a white knuckler, if you've watched that one. You've got at Northwestern up in Evanston. Beautiful place up there. You have FSU. So Willie Taggart will be in South Bend in early November. You've got Syracuse at Yankee Stadium in mid-November. And then at the end, you've got Southern Cal, and that one's on the road out there at the L.A. Coliseum. So there you have it for them. Right now, what would you anticipate the record being in that group? Is 10-2 doable in that group? Considering you've got Stanford, you've got at Blacksburg, you've got Florida State in there, and you got the Trojans. I'd say the bottom end of that would be 8-4, right? You try and get 10-2 out of there and say, hell yeah, we won double digits again. Not good enough to be in a natty situation, I don't think. I don't think the Irish are there. I think they're 10-2 good enough, though. Kevin Hagin's at the top of the hour. We'll talk Alabama. We'll switch it from South Bend to T-Town. Maybe we'll even talk about the soup store and the controversy over that when he gets with us. Josh Newberg in a little bit as well. Let me tell you about my guy, Jason Herring. Jason might be, speaking of the Omni, Jason and his kids, they have a volleyball tournament in Louisville they're going to be at, and he may be staying at the brand new Omni there in Louisville that opened its doors for the public yesterday. Music City Ty was up there. We'll get, if Jason does end up staying there, we'll get him to take some pictures. Nice, beautiful facility up there. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com, though. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com. And that is the site where I want you to go and make sure you have your future protected. Make sure you've looked into your future and that the loved ones around you are protected from anything that might happen. Certainly don't want anything to ever happen. Want everybody to be happy and have a wonderful life, but you do need your protection. So whether you're healthy and you're not getting it done because you're just putting it off, I would adjust that attitude on that. I would look into this. And this is your guy, Jason Herring. Also, maybe you've got some pre-existing and you think, man, I can't get cleared. It's not worth it. Don't make that final analysis. Get with Jason. He's helped people with pre-existing conditions that would blow your mind. Or let's say you've got a policy and it's running a little low on time. He can help you with that too. It's time to flip the page and get that thing freshened up a bit. Jason Herring. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com is the site. Click on it. All the contact information is right there. Most all of this stuff these days is done over the phone, also electronically, so it's not like it's got to be somebody in your area. Doesn't matter whether you're Chad in Germany or Tony in Australia. It does not matter. Jason Herring is your guy. LifeInsuranceWithJason.com. Coming right back. Crazy Charlie will get you there. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Heavy traffic out here. We pretty much would expect here as we check it out live on 40 westbound. Coming from Wilson County and Davison County there up through Hermitage. Traffic's also on the increase now on 65 south here at Trinity Lane. 24 carrying a steady flow of traffic westbound here up by Harding Place. If you're looking for the best bargains, check out GiveMeA5.com. They're in Clarksville, Lebanon, Dixon, Madison. GiveMeA5.com. You never know what you're going to find. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Dependable Delivery in Nashville says in some emergencies, blood must be shipped in from outside the area. This takes time, and sometimes a patient does not have time. Be a lifesaver and donate blood today. This message from Dependable Delivery, family-owned and operated and serving the area with quality and pride for 28 years. Call 615-445-3711. That's 615-445-3711. For Dependable Delivery, where Dave, Zach, and Ed are on the air because they care. Visit their website at ddnashville.com.
Hey, golfers. Head to Edwin Watts Golf Shops for the Titleist Battle for the Bag event. Now through March 11th. Come see how your current clubs match up against the number one irons and hybrids on tour. Compare your 7-iron or hybrid to Titleist 7-18 irons or 8-18 hybrids. Complete the battle process and receive an increased trade-in value when you purchase new Titleist 7-18 irons or 8-18 hybrids. If Titleist does not outperform your current club, you'll receive a $25 gift card. Don't miss Titleist Battle for the Bag event at Edwin Watts. Now through March 11th.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 4ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.4ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 4ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Nashville weather.
Here is a look at your SkyWatch weather forecast for today. Partly sunny, windy, high in the mid-40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy and cold, low in the lower 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, windy, high tomorrow, back in the mid-40s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold, low in the mid-40s, and a slight chance of some showers in the forecast over the weekend with temperatures remaining cold. I'm Commander Chuck with your SkyWatch weather.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
I get called. Just give me 1 second here. I've got a question. Speaking of Kentucky and the season they're having, which by their standards isn't very good. They just went down to Florida and got killed. If Penny Hardaway gets the Memphis gig, they fire Tubby and they give him his $10 million. If. Does that mean the number one ranked player in the class of 19, who we all assume is going to Kentucky, the Wiseman kid, 6'11", who was here in the 6'15 prior, does that mean he goes with Penny to Memphis and not to Rupp Arena? Is that what that means? Because if you're Memphis and you get Penny, you get three top 40 ranked players if you take the players off that Memphis East team right there. Right in your backyard. On the same team. Memphis East. Same team. Just throwing that out there. Josh is checking in. Been a while with our guy, Buckeye Josh. What's up, sir?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
How have you been doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Just hanging around.
You know who tweeted me yesterday? Yipsy Terry. He doesn't call anymore, but Terry, he tweeted me. It was good to hear from him.
Yeah, I talked to him there Saturday. He was hanging out up at the lake. Shame we don't hear from him so much anymore.
He was royalty, man. Great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So, hey, Bill, on to a little football. Spring training's kind of got started already here.
Yep.
Looking ahead to the season, there's a few of us that have been having this debate on whether or not Dwayne Haskins will get the start or Tate Martell. And I kind of wanted your thoughts on that and to see who you think's going to get the start and why. And with that said, sir, it's good talking to you. I will hang up and listen.
Thank you, sir. Good to hear from Josh, man. Here is my assumption. Dwayne Haskins is your quarterback. He's the pro-style quarterback you've been waiting on. He is going into year three, so he's comfortable. It's year two with Kevin Wilson. And Tate Martell will have some sort of package, probably more of a running game, maybe more of an RPO type setup with him, because he does have a lot of ability below the waist. He can run. He can be a scat back type of quarterback. He's awfully tiny now. I don't know what they list him, but he doesn't look like he's 5'8", 5'9", but he can get it now. He is a very electric little athlete, so I'm sure they'll have something for him in some sort of wildcat package or whatever to use him occasionally, because, again, he brings a different dimension from that position. But, no. I'm absolutely assuming that Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback. I would if you said, Bill, you got to bet right now. I'm just telling you, I'm making it a rule. You've got to bet right now. I'd bet that Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback, and I would bet that Joe Burrow transfers based on that because he wants to be the starting quarterback somewhere. And, you know, his dad is the did his dad end up back at Nebraska? That's a question. His dad was with Frank Solich at Ohio U as his defensive coordinator. Did he end up back at Nebraska? Did I delete that memo and somehow I'm forgetting that? Because there was some talk last time we talked with Steve Hellwagon that if Burrow did bail on Seabus due to I'm not going to get the gig, would the connection back to Nebraska be facilitated? Would that be the conduit? Anyways, coming up to T-Town, to the soup store, not really, Kevin Hagan will talk Bama with him. Omni Nashville Hotel.